I'm a huge Ivy League basketball fan. Are we going to have Ivy League basketball?
That's a big question. I would put it at almost zero. This is not necessarily from anybody telling me that. It's reading tea leaves. And, yeah, talking to folks, I just don't think they're willing to risk it. And given what's going on right now, guys, they are supposed to be the smartest people in the room. I got to go there because I could shoot a jump shot, let's be very honest. I didn't belong in that place. But they're going to always err on the side of caution and what the science is telling us. And right now, the coronavirus is spiking everywhere. We're going to have, we're supposed to have political changes at the federal level. Who knows what's going to happen there? We should have it at the state level and the regional and local level. We'll have it across the country, different places. That may impact how things can even be played once you hit January. So there's just so many questions. I highly doubt the Ivy League is going to roll out even an Ivy League only season, given all the issues around it. Because it's not just basketball. They'd be committing to every sport. And I don't think they want to do that across the board and put their athletes and their students in harm's way, which a lot of those kids, nobody's really on campus at most of those schools.
How much optimism do you have about college basketball around the rest of the country?
Well, it's a very good point. I think the whole country, very good question, the whole country has approached this like as any other year. Right now, we should be playing, conference games should be starting November 25th. We should be playing, if you could afford it as a conference, you play in pods. If you can't do that, you just find a way to get to your 13 minimum games, which is the minimum to qualify for the NCAA tournament. So the high majors are more concerned that with the low and mid majors. But they should be focused on doing pods or isolated situations where you have four to eight to ten teams in one place, cranking out games with your own protocols in your league and total control, putting your athletes in the best chance for safety, minimizing all travel, and also getting to play the games in a safe manner. We've approached this across every conference, it seems, like this is a regular year. We're going to play some non-conference games, then we're going to roll out in the big league 18, 20-game league schedule with literally one week to make stuff up in most of these conferences. It makes no sense. If there's a contact tracing issue, every coach has told me this, every coach across the board, it's not just 14 days. It's going to be basically 21, so you can't come back and play right away. So you can have that happen once. That can happen twice to a team in a year, in the season. I mean, you're going to have – this is an indoor sport with a small team. I mean, this is – it seems like we have approached this like it's 2019, and it's not. It's 2020, and we have not done this in a manner that I think is correct. Now, I hope and pray that it works out. We don't have a lot of issues with different teams, and we get to have an NCAA tournament because, man, the economics of college sports, not just basketball, need a tournament to happen. But I am skeptical that it's not going to be some major issues before we get to January, and then I don't know what's going to happen from a point when there's different regulations from a political standpoint across all these different jurisdictions across the country.
Dalen Cupps with us from ESPN. I got to close on one point going back to Wichita. If they can offer, they're not going to offer the next coach, you know, $4.5 million. If they got aggressive and they were offering, you know, $3 million, could you see a Power Five coach like on the lower end of a Power Five conference going, I mean, $3 million, they're backed by the Koch brothers, like you said, they're chartering flights. Like, could this lead to some upheaval, like a school last minute loses their coach to Wichita?
The only reason that'd be hard is you have to have real connections to recruiting in that area in the Midwest, and particularly getting guys that may have gotten snips from KU but can't go there, you know, getting loves from Illinois, but you take this, you got to win a recruiting battle with Illinois, with possibly Kansas, with Iowa. You have to be really connected in that middle part of the country and comfortable in that recruiting base, because you're not recruiting to, you know, it's a great scene in that the Roundhouse, fun place to be. It's a good town, but you got to really want to be there and sell that and believe in that. And it's really hard to bring somebody as an outsider into that and really be able to garner the same enthusiasm or have players believe that they can keep it going at the same level. So I think that's a tough job, and they knew what they had with him, and they held on to him, and they paid him accordingly. I think that's going to be interesting to see if that there's any shakeup. I wouldn't anticipate that from like a high major coach leaving to go there. I think you're looking at one of the best mid-major coaches up and coming. That would be a good stepping stone and a good platform for you without a doubt, but I don't think really the other way is going to be where it ends up.